You know, we already have said it several times, but of course today is Easter, and it's a time of celebration. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating a victory. We are celebrating Jesus defeating Satan. We are celebrating the empty tomb. And Jesus represents a breakthrough for mankind from sin, sickness, and the grave. If you want a title for this, a lot of times people want titles. Sometimes I give you one, sometimes I don't. Sometimes they put one on the recording, and then when I see it, I say, I didn't preach that sermon. But Jesus is our breakthrough. You know, if you want to say it this way, Christianity is the only religion that can claim an empty tomb for their leader. It's the only one. I've been there. I've seen that empty tomb, at least the one that they think it was. I mean, some say, oh, you don't ever know. No, you don't. But we think that's it. And somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, at least that's where I'm celebrating. You can stand there and have all your doubts you want to. I'm going to celebrate. He rose. The grave is empty. That's a grave. That's hewn out of the rock. It's close to where, geographically, where it said it's supposed to be. So I'm going to celebrate. He arose victorious. Hallelujah. He's alive. Jesus dying and raising from the dead became the breakthrough for mankind. You know what? When it looked like it was all over, it's not over. 1 Corinthians 15:12-20 in the CEV version. If we preach that Christ was raised from death, how can some of you say that the dead will not be raised to life? If they won't be raised to life, Christ himself wasn't raised to life. And if Christ wasn't raised to life, our message is worthless, and so is your faith. If the dead won't be raised to life, we have told lies about God by saying that he raised Christ to life when he really did not. So if the dead won't be raised to life, Christ wasn't raised to life. Unless Christ was raised to life, your faith is useless. You're still living in your sin. And those people who died after putting their faith in him are completely lost. If our hope in Christ is good only for this life, we are worse off than anyone else. But Christ has been raised to life. And he makes certain that others will also be raised to life. This scripture proclaims that Jesus was dead and now he is alive. The message of Christ has the power to change lives. It changed your life. It changed my life. It's changed countless millions of lives. Here, these scriptures declare that our faith in him helps us to be raised to new life. Today, we stand courageous and free because Jesus is alive and he's our breakthrough. You know, throughout the Word of God, we see that God was there as a breakthrough for his people in the Old Testament. Let's go to 2 Samuel 5:17. I'm going to be reading from the CEV today. The Philistines heard that David was now king of Israel, and they came into the hill country to try and capture him. But David found out and went into his fortress. So the Philistines camped in Rephaim Valley. David asked the Lord, "Should I attack the Philistines? Will you let me win?" The Lord told David, "Attack, I'll let you win." And David attacked the Philistines, defeated them. Then he said, "I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood." So he named the place the Lord broke through. Here David followed the Lord's leading, and God broke through for him. He was his breakthrough. What David and his mighty men couldn't do, God could. When David didn't know what to do, God did. David's enemy were no match for David's God. And your enemies are no match for your God. If God broke through for his people in the Old Testament, he will break through for us today, because Jesus has arose from the dead. You know, Jesus is more powerful sometimes than we give him credit for. The name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thank God for letting our Lord Jesus Christ give us victory. You know, Jesus broke the chains of the tyranny of Satan. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, he gave the keys here on earth over mankind to the devil. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, went to the grave and rose again, he took it back for us. He became our breakthrough. No longer do we have to be bound by the tyranny of sin, but we can live victorious in Jesus Christ. The only leader of any religion that is alive. The rest of them, they go to their graves to worship them. We don't have to go to his grave, because he's alive and he lives forevermore. He is your breakthrough. He is my breakthrough. He is everyone's breakthrough that will accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. Look at Colossians 2:12-15. And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. When you were raised to life, because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because you were sinful and were not God's people. But God let Christ make you alive when he forgave all your sins. God wiped out the charges that were against us for disobeying the law of Moses. He took them away and nailed them to the cross. There Christ defeated all the powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory. You know, it was for us that Jesus hung on the cross. It was for us that he died and went to the grave. It was for us that he arose victorious and triumphantly over all the power of the enemy. I want to read a portion from A.W. Tozer's Preparing for Jesus' Return. In reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by his nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness. Not by force, but by sacrifice. Jesus, our Lord, surrendered in order that he might win. He destroyed his enemies by dying for them and conquered death by allowing death to conquer him. When the disciples thought it was all over, when he hung on that cross and he looked up to heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And his head slumped to his chest and he said, it is finished. And the earth shook and the thunder rolled and the lightning flashed. And that curtain in the temple that held the power of God and the presence of God was rent from top to bottom. And God said, no more will I live in a place made of wood and stone and steel. Today it would be. But now I will go and live in the hearts of mankind. We had the breakthrough We had the breakout when Jesus arose from that grave. It was our breakout. No longer would we have to be prisoners to sin, sickness, and disease. You see, when the disciples couldn't see any victory, all they saw was Jesus on that cross. It looked like it was all over. But it wasn't over. They thought it was over because he died. But the power of God opened up a way for eternal life. And they began to see, it's not over. It's just beginning. Colossians 2:12 says, and when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Notice how this verse connects our faith with our victory. Faith brings the victory. Faith unleashes the power of God. Faith enables us to overcome the powers of the enemy. Through faith, that same power that raised Christ from the dead also has raised you up into new life. You must believe this incredible truth. You must speak the reality of it out of your mouth. Phillips Brooks says this, let every man and woman catch the revelation of Jesus in his resurrection. Let him say not merely, Christ is risen, but I shall rise by faith. We proclaim that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is raising me to new life. We must lift our voice and declare, Jesus is my breakthrough. We must lift our voice and declare to every individual that Jesus is our breakthrough. It's not over till it's over. It looked over. It looked like it was finished. As he drew his last breath on that cross, the disciples went into hiding. They didn't know what was going to happen. It's over. It's over. This Jesus that they left their occupations for to follow him. This Messiah is now in a grave. And they said, it's over. But it wasn't over. Because Mary went to the tomb. And she saw Jesus. The stone was gone. The tomb was empty. And she ran back to the disciples and said, boys, it's not over. He has done exactly what he said he was going to do. On the third day, he said he was going to rise, and he has risen. I have seen him. The disciples still not understanding were in that room with the door closed. And then they realized it wasn't over because he came right through the door and there he stood with them. And for 40 days, he walked and talked with them to demonstrate that it wasn't over, that he died, but he arose again. And they stood with him outside of the city of Jerusalem when he ascended on high. And he told them to be disciples and go tell the world about Jesus Christ that's alive and well. And that is our mandate today. But those two men in white apparel say, hey, quit standing here looking after him. Go and do what he said to do, because this same Jesus will come again in like manner. I want you to realize today that it is not over. It is never over. There is always a way out with Jesus Christ. Many, many times people think that it's over. You may have faced some issues and you said it's over, but it's not over till it's over. I want you to watch this video clip.
All right, real quick. Here are four unrelated stories, all with a common bond. First, let's go back to November 20th, 1982. For the 85th time, Cal and Stanford are involved in a heated contest. After a wild game, Stanford, led by young John Elway, takes the lead with just 4 seconds left. The Stanford fans and band are already celebrating, and why shouldn't they? The game is over. One final play begins as Stanford kicks short to Cal. A mad scramble ensues. Laterals follow near tackles, then a blind over-the-shoulder lateral. A mad race to the end zone. Down goes the Stanford trombonist as the touchdown is scored. The unthinkable happens and Cal wins. As it turns out, it wasn't over. How about this one? Meet the Lilies, Russell and Terry. It's 2001. Their 10-year marriage has been a constant source of frustration. A vicious cycle of selfishness, fighting, and isolation has left them both exhausted, angry, and done. Never mind the vows. Never mind the two young boys. This one is beyond hope. This marriage is over. Following their divorce, Russell becomes a follower of Christ, and Terry begins to notice the transformation taking place in Russell. Hardened hearts soften. The relationship begins to heal. Forgiveness is sought and granted. In 2007, they remarry. The one that became two is now one again. Then there's Raylene Kupferschmidt. It's January 2008. Ray suffers a cerebral hemorrhage. Declaring her brain dead, the doctors remove her breathing tubes. Knowing that it's over, the hospital releases Ray to her family so she can be taken home to die comfortably. Meanwhile, Ray's family plans her funeral. But someone forgot to tell Ray that it was over. At home, Ray suddenly wakes up. She's checked again by her doctors, who cannot believe that she's still alive, much less alert and healthy. Funeral plans have now turned into vacation plans for Ray and her family. Logically devoid of hope, legally divorced, literally dead, everyone thought it was over. It's not the first time. Flashback almost 2,000 years. A man claiming to be the long-anticipated Messiah is unfairly accused. Offered up to the lying crowds by a Roman official, the supposed Savior is flogged, mocked, tortured, and beaten. He is nailed to a tree and crucified. He dies and is buried. Hopes that he is the Messiah fade away. It is finished. Friends scatter. Disciples hide. Evil celebrates, and for 3 days, it is over. But on the third day, there's an empty grave. Evil has lost its victory. Death has lost its sting. Suddenly, miraculously, the only thing that is now over is hopelessness. Four stories, one message. It's not over, even when it's over.
Bow your heads just a moment with me, please. Today, sitting in this congregation, there may be those of you that have dealt with situations and you've said to yourself, it's over. But just because it looks like it's over, it's not over. If you have faith in the power of the resurrected Christ, it can cause the impossible to happen for you. And what you thought was over is not over. With heads bowed and eyes closed in this place today, and I don't want anybody looking around, if you're facing some situations and you say and have said and have thought it's over, I want to pray for you. I just want you to slip your hand up and leave it up as I pray for you. If you've said to yourself, it's over, it's over, it's over. Heavenly Father, you see these honest hearts as they have lifted their hands. They're in a position of saying it's over, but you're in the position of saying it's not over. I will set you free. I will help you. I will give you the victory. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, you may be in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or you may need to rededicate your life to God. Or you may just go to church, but you don't know whether you have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. If that's you, on any one of those invitations, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Would you please raise your hand right now, anywhere in this room? You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need a no-so experience. Thank you. There's a hand there. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Lift your hand, please. I want to pray with you. I want you to change your life forever. You may think it's over, but it's not over. It's just beginning with Christ. Everyone stand, please. I think I saw two or three hands. There may have been more. I don't know.